what I wanted to start with was there were a couple of things that towards the end I wanted to fill in more, and then that picture of the Stitch and Chat Club.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about some of those things too. First, I was wondering, I asked you about what the family talked about when you were a child, and you said that basically at dinner the children didn't talk too much. I wonder, was there ever any political discussions in your house?
Pretty much, no. My mother tried to get my dad to talk, and generally when he come in, he was so tired he couldn't do anything but eat and relax. And she really felt lonesome because she couldn't carry on this conversation between them. They were occasionally, when there would be a president to be elected, they would discuss things. Mm-hmm. My dad took care of the election. He was on head of the election board, and that was in town, and we were on the farm. We didn't get in on very much of that, except in through school.
How about reading materials in the house? What sort of things would you read and would be around the house?
We had, let's see, we always had a newspaper. It came through the mail. And we had some magazines, mostly farm magazines. And we had a bookcase full of such as Dickens and stories of that type, of the good authors, and we'd take those and read them. And we had a good set of reference books, and always the Bible and Sunday school books.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad at one time taught a Sunday school class at home. He wanted us to have that training, whether we went to church or not. So,
what was your own favorite reading as you were growing up? Do you recall?
I liked about the history of people coming west, and that type of thing. I liked mystery. I liked the stories of Pegasus and things, mm-hmm. type of that type too, mythology. And
how about the radio? Was there? Did you have a radio?
We had a radio. Let's see. Back during, I don't know if it was during or right after the war, soon after they came out, we had a radio. And it was a used one, but it was fine.
Would the family listen to the radio together in the evening?
Yes, there were certain programs that were very funny. You know, we had some good comedians on, and then we had good music.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was quiet to listen and just didn't make any noise.
Do you recall family outings or things that you would all do together as a family?
They were rare, but with our folks only while we were in town. After that, that's about the only thing you got together at was a funeral, maybe Christmas, go to the programs at the church and Christmas. We always had a big dinner on Thanksgiving and Christmas. We always had a tree, and everybody made little packages of little things they made to give each other. And let's see. As kids, when we're still living in town, we still have a program, and my mother would put a tub upside down and a piece of board on it, and we would get up on the stage and do recite whatever we were going to recite or sing a song.
That was just among your family.
Yeah, uh-huh. Just amusement.
It sounds like as a child and then later as a teenager and young woman, you were very physically active.
Yes, I've always, I never sat still at all.
Was there ever any pressure on you because you were a girl not to be so physically active?
The only way they did, my mother took care of that. She'd bat me on the side of the head or set me down, something like that. But generally, I was out of reach and on my way so fast that and no chance.
Were the other girls, were your sisters as physically active as you were?
No, none of them.
And how about interest in machinery and being mechanical?
That type of thing I took quite an interest in. Only time I got near them, though, was with my brother. My dad didn't allow us girls to be around the men at all. And they hired help in the early farm days when my sister would help with the milking. It was just my brother and my sister and my dad and mother. As they had machines and had a hired help, then they didn't do the work. I would be allowed to feed the chickens and clean under the roofs. And I remember one year the snow was so deep that we had to shovel it, and we had a path like that to go through the snow, but we couldn't see either way. All we could see was snow, and it was just that deep everywhere.
Now, you mentioned that your mother felt that education was very important.
Of her girls.
Of the girls. Mm-hmm. Why do you think she felt it was more important for the girls than for the boys?
Probably because my dad probably planned on the boys staying home and farming. The boys got to go to school and learn agriculture. Well, neither... the two older boys, neither one went for the farm at all. The younger one did. Now, the younger one was born on the farm. And as soon as he was old enough, he used to ride with my dad out on the wagon to pick up rocks. And I kept him busy.
But you don't, I mean, did she feel that it would lead since?
She felt that women should not feel inferior to a man when she's married to him. And if you got married, she felt that you should have an education, and you should have an education in case you needed it to support yourself and your family. So she had a good idea.
Where do you think those ideas came from in her?
Perhaps from her mother and grandmother. You'll find when you hear that tape that there's quite a background of women.
Well, is it something that you were aware of as you were growing up, her ideas about women?
Yeah, of course she had the idea, which was kind of way out, that none of us should get married.
Why was that?
Well, I suppose because she was disappointed in marriage. She didn't think that that was a thing for a woman to do.
How did she communicate that to you?
Well, she stated it.
Very directly?
Yeah.
And how did you, do you recall your own reaction to that as you were growing up?
She talked to this mostly to my older sister. It didn't matter to me. As I was growing up, I didn't want to get married. What would I want with all those kids and all that work and all that mess? You know, it just didn't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm. When did you change your mind about that?
I never really changed my mind. I married my husband because everybody else was married and there was no social life for me, because I was kind of a misfit in the society that got married.
Mm. So all your activities with your girlfriends that you'd engaged in before ceased as they would get married?
Yeah. And I think they all married before I did. I'm not sure. I married when I was 28. But this guy was nice and sort of, you know, protective, and every wish was my, you know, command. So it looked like a good thing for me. But the change.
Can you describe him a little bit in terms of his own background? And
His folks come from Sweden, and they didn't believe in an education. So he went to work when he was very young, and he worked as a paper boy, and he did anything that he could. He was a good student. His brother was a little younger, and his brother had a more of an outgoing personality, and his brother made friends in that more easily. But he was sensitive. He's a lot like my daughter was, but sort of in. He doesn't display his feelings. He doesn't talk too much. He read a great deal, and didn't communicate with me until he wanted a divorce, and he was ready to communicate, and I wasn't. He decided he could have some of his own medicine. So.
Now, what, before I ask you a little bit more about after when you were married, when you went to, when you were working in the dress and in the cheese and the pickle factory, what, you talked about wearing slacks. Do you recall what the other dress was like?
It was a uniform we slipped over. We didn't always have to wear the slacks. We more or less wore them for warmth in the winter. I generally wore dresses. But these were just a V-neck and straight, and with a belt.
So they were like coveralls almost?
They're like a sheath dress, uh-huh. Yeah. And they were of denim. And they were tan. And they had the Blue Moon Cheese emblem on them.
And what, did you have to wear a head covering as well?
We had to wear nets around the cheese. However, they didn't require us in the packing room so much to wear them, but if you were on the run where the cheese was being filled into the cartons, then you wore them.
Now, you started actually working right about, well, before the Depression would have hit. And you mentioned last time that you were never out of work for more than a couple of weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Did the Depression not affect you much then?
It was easy for me to get a job. I mean, if they could hire me, my personality was such that they kind of liked to hire me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little waitress work, and for two evenings, one time when I was out of work and I needed work, I worked at a nightclub as a cigarette girl. I had no idea that there was anything else to go with that.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So the first night I was there, I served cigarettes, and I sold quite a bit, and then that went along okay. The second night I came, someone waiting around to take me home or something like that, which I couldn't accept. Someone else asked me to dance, and while his woman was out in the washroom, I guess. And I danced a little bit, which wasn't too good, because he took me to introduce me to her, and she was so mad. And I didn't know why she was mad. I suppose it was because I was supposed to be something that I wasn't.
Mm.
I went to, they had private booths sort of to be in, and this was a large, in fact, this was the room where the party was going on. One guy, he started making remarks, you know, and one guy got the pillow and there was a downport there, and you start rolling around on that. And that can be crazy as heck, you know. And I didn't understand, so the woman said, oh, he's just my husband. And I felt like saying, well, there's something wrong. Is he, you know, he's having an epileptic fit or something. So at the end of that evening, the man that hired me said, you're not the kind of woman for this job. So he said, I have to let you go.
You mentioned something about the NRA last time, and I didn't have a chance to ask you if any of the places that you were at were unionized, or if you were aware of
I was working at Blue Moon Cheese at that time, and they were not unionized. And while they tried to come in and unionize them, they never did. While I worked there, they paid better than most. And in that case, there was the vice president wanted to me to be his friend or something, and that didn't work out either. He asked if I wouldn't. You probably don't want to put this down anyway. That I wouldn't be more interested in him if I knew he was worth a $250,000.
Was this after you were working in the office that happened? Or
yeah.
You were still,
after they put me in the office.
What was your attitude towards the union? You said they were trying to unionize while you were there still.
I didn't have any ideas on it, really. I was from the farm, and there were other places I worked I felt it would be a definite advantage. But as I got acquainted with Ralph, my husband, he definitely was for unions, and he belonged to the union.
Oh, see, he was in a unionized factory then.
Yeah. He wasn't, and then they had a closeout, and they moved to South Dakota.
Oh.
Moved the factory. So he had to get something else, which was good.
In 1934 was that big general strike in Minneapolis. Do you recall anything about that at all? It started with the trucker strike, and then there was a general strike, and the whole town was, a lot of industries were being struck. Do you remember anything about that?
I really don't. I worked all the time. I don't even remember how it affected the place.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a railroad running close by, and it probably affected the flow of the to the market of the things. We had a lot of storage space. Let's see, 37, 34. Yeah, I was working at Blue Moon Cheese.
Now, as you described it last time, it sounded like you worked fairly regularly and then had a pretty active social life in terms of physical activity and dancing, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we did. I would go roller skating, ice skating, dancing, swimming.
And it was usually with girlfriends.
Yeah.
And then the first...
I had quite a few dates with men for dancing, you know. But I'd rather go with a woman and then dance with everybody that I wanted to. So.
Mm-hmm. And what, you say that when you finally decided to get married, it was just because of being so difficult being an unmarried woman in society.
Mostly, yeah. I don't think I would have considered it at all if there was a place for me without it.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, you were going to beauty college and thinking of going into.
I was about to graduate when I got married. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I started after my husband and I became engaged. We decided we'd get married eventually, and I started this beauty course, and it just didn't turn out that I could do it.
Now, when you decided that you were going to marry, what were your thoughts about the kind of life you would lead? What did you expect to do after marriage?
Well, I just sort of expected to be a beauty operator and have my own shop and just continue that way. But that part didn't turn out.
And you thought you would do that and have children as well?
Yeah, I figured that that would do.
Mm-hmm. And then to kind of bring us up to when you came out to California, you you went to live on the farm for a couple of months after you had lived in town. What sort of activities did you engage in after you'd stopped working? You talked a little bit about the remodeling of the fourplex. And then in the picture, there's a picture of the club of young women all with young children. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, my sister, two of them were in this club. I used to go and help them with their work and children occasionally. I used to, when I wasn't working, I used to go out and have if it were time to swim, I'd go swimming and things like that. I did a lot of things alone. Our club met just once a month. I and one woman that lived next door would go out to things together. We'd go to meetings that was concerned with the schools. And I used to like to go downtown and listen. There was stores that had music programs, you know, and I could listen to those free. And I liked to look in places that had set up the furnishings and everything on display and like houses sort of was there.
What was this club exactly?
It was a private club, and it was geared to our own fun. And we did some donating, but it wasn't necessarily for donating.
And you actually all sewed, is that it?
We did all kinds of things. It wasn't, it was just called Stitch and Chatter Club. However, most of us did crocheting, knitting, the hand, hand work, embroidery, anything like that, and we'd bring it with.
Oh, to show each other? You'd work on it?
Work on it, yeah. And then once a year we would have maybe a sale of things that we made. Every once in a while we'd have a party where the men were included. We'd have trips that took airplane trips. We'd go to dinner at some nice restaurant, all of us, and things like that. So
now,
it made
the
a sort of a social
when
life.
You were doing the when you'd all get together to sew or do the handwork, you'd all bring your children as well?
Sometimes we'd bring them, and sometimes we would have somebody take care of them. However, I took mine as a rule.
Now, did you, in these activities that you talked about, going downtown, and when you go swimming, that sort of thing, would you take Joyce with you, or would you make arrangements for someone to take care of her?
Oh, before she was born.
Oh. After
see, it was about 3 or 4 years before she, I was married in 1937, she was born in 1940. And then in 1941, we moved out here. Now, I'd take her with me because she was too small to leave, and my activities were limited because I had the baby.
Now, how did you arrive at the decision to move out to the farm? You talked about it being your
yeah,
family.
I thought that would be good for the child's health, my husband's health. It would give me something to do. I could earn the food and we could earn our rent there. So all my husband had to do was to buy us clothes and furnish himself with a car, which that was his first, anyway, he always saw to it he had a car. He also saw to it he had about 6 or 7 a year.
Cars? And so the idea was that you would be supporting, the family would be supporting itself out on the farm.
Yeah. Mostly we were very poor, though. We depended on him.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be something done about that.
And you were going to lease this farm then?
Yeah, we had leased it and for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came out here, we had to sublet it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you, I had these chickens ready for laying. They
mm-hmm.
were beautiful. They were the heavy what they call them, the white hens, you know, but they were the heavy type, and they're good layers. We didn't have electricity when we were there, but soon after, when the people that we rented to wanted it, and the woman called me and asked me if she thought that it was a good thing or necessary, and I said to her, I said, if you want to get good rent and have the farmer have an income, they should have electricity, especially
mm-hmm.
for the chickens, you know. Well, it's mostly a chicken
water
farm.
In the house, though?
Yes.
The
yeah.
And the pump was in the kitchen?
Yeah, right by the kitchen sink.